The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:06 in the morning here on the 25th of September. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
Good morning, everybody. Like you said, 7:06. We're looking forward to a lot of things that we have to cover this morning. First of all, let you know that our current temperature is 65 degrees. We're going to have a sunny day with temperatures around 94 today. Clear tonight with 61. Saturday calls for 91 and Sunday for 92. So we're getting below those triple digits. And, of course, next week calls for the 80s. Now, the weather is brought to you by each and every day by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. They do give veteran and senior discounts, 365-3793. What's going on, Carl? You got tickets?
Oh, gosh, we got so many things going on here today. Let's talk first. Let's start with the MASH Bash. That's tomorrow night. And it's going to be out at the airport, air hangar out there. It goes from 5:30 to 11 p.m. You've got, you know, if you get there a little bit early, you can get flights on a helicopter for a slight fee. Military Moments, live auction drawing, live music, costume contest, dinner. This is all for a fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Veterans and Heritage Center. How do you get tickets? Give them a call at 222-2282 or go to Eagles Landing on Bocelli Lane right here in Reading. But this is a big thing, and they have the tickets $35 a piece, and we've got a couple that we're going to give away a little bit later in the show. But that's the 2015 MASH Bash fundraiser, and if you're lucky, you'll see Hot Lips and you'll see Hawkeye and Trapper and all of them out there. Then, of course, on the 26th also is the Turtle Bay's 9th annual fall plant sale. It's going to hold its 9th annual fall plant sale on Saturday at the Turtle Bay Nursery. And Turtle Bay members are offered a pre-sale from 9 to 11 a.m. and the public sales from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Members will receive a 30% discount on all nursery purchases, and non-members will receive 20% off. Admission to the gardens is free all day. So just head on down to that. And let's see what else we have here. Oh, of course, State of the Tribe will be next week on September 30th, 11:30 a.m. inside the Event Center. And then the Honored Elders and Princess Dinner on October 1st. And, of course, the Stillwater Powwow from October 2nd through the 4th. $3 admission. That's located at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For more information, call Maria Orozco at 242-4516. And find out, because this is a great
day. We have a huge weekend, kinds of things going on. But
everything's going on.
The powwow, they come from all over.
Next week.
Quite the spectacular event.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we just had a Johnny Carson moment.
Yes.
Because with us this morning
is our buddy,
our pet of the week from Haven Humane. Spencer this morning brought in a bird. What kind of bird do we have this morning, Spencer?
Good morning. This morning I brought with me a green and yellow Indian ringneck parakeet.
Okay.
Her name is Dora. She came into our shelter, unfortunately, because her owner had passed away.
She looks very healthy.
Birds can be, they can live a long time.
They can. You know, this particular breed of bird lives about 25 years. She's only about 3 years old, so she's still a baby. Great bird when she first
obviously not potty trained.
No, because you know, if you could just visualize what happened with Dora.
Spencer is wearing a red shirt, and as he picked up Dora and showed Dora to us, Dora got so excited about being on radio.
That's okay.
That she pooped all over Spencer.
That's what happens with birds.
And it's white.
Yeah, no, she's a beautiful bird. She's got red ring eyes.
Yes, she's got a really nice red, orangish red around her eyes.
Kind of like I do on Saturday evenings.
She's a really like neon green color, and if you look really close, the reason why they're called ringnecks is she actually has a brighter green ring around her neck.
It's a beautiful little bird.
She's healthy looking.
Yes, and that's how you can tell that she's a female, is because she has the green ring. If she was a male, she would have a solid black ring all the way around her neck.
Okay.
Well, that's an easy way then to pick out dates at the at a bar.
So she was when she came in and her owner had passed away.
Did you see the green?
Was she just by herself, just a lone bird? Or
She came in with another cockatiel, mm-hmm. and they're both still at our shelter, okay. available for adoption. She was really frightened and scared of the new change of environment and wasn't handling it well. And at first she wasn't letting any of us handle her. I've spent the last week socializing this bird, and she will now step right up onto your finger.
Mm-hmm.
We've been socializing her with other people as well, so other people can come up and she'll step right onto their fingers.
She's hanging out on your shoulder right now.
Yes,
like the bird man. Yeah,
that's her favorite spot.
Can she fly? Or she's been trimmed?
I trimmed her wings for the training purpose because, uh-huh. I mean, a bird that mm-hmm. has wings, though, every time they get frightened, they'll fly away from
right.
you.
Right.
And to socialize them, you kind of have to push them a little bit past that,
right,
that fear
right.
boundary, you know, and get them to trust you. So you have right. to build a bond with the birds.
It's not, she a biter?
She's a nibbler.
Okay.
As with any bird nibbles a little bit, you
uh-huh.
know. She could potentially bite pretty hard, but she has not. I mean, I still have all my fingers.
Okay,
no,
well,
no
I had
sores
a parrot.
Or anything.
I had a parrot once, and it was
you
the
had
same
a parrot.
Yeah, and then when you stopped clipping their wings, you're right; they go fly up on the top of the curtains, and you have to. It was a whole ordeal trying to get them out. But we did the, you know, the sheet over the cage at night, and it was really great. It was fun, but you know, I've always thought it just what you put into an animal, you get out as far as training and love and attention and. This bird is obviously very calm.
She is. She's a nice bird, you know, and it's just whoever adopts her is going to have to be a little knowledgeable about birds. Mm-hmm. This isn't a bird for a beginner. This is a bird, you know, it's not a parrot. It's not a full-blown parrot, so you don't have to be an expert at bird care, but it's not a beginner's bird either. She's a great bird. She does already know a few words. She says pretty bird and yes, and she makes a few chirps and whistles.
Can she do that now?
She's a little stressed out okay. at the moment.
Right. Well,
she likes to actually talk more. She gets jealous when I hold the cockatiel at our work, and then she'll start talking up a storm.
I love it. You know, just
okay. This
critters.
Is a great bird. If you're looking for something you don't want to take for a walk, that you can have, that can sit in your lap and love on you, then here you go. You've got this little bird. It is a beautiful little bird. It's neon. Green
mm-hmm.
with a yellow, with a green band around its neck and red eyes, not like the devil, but just around the eyes. And it is
orange
just cute.
Beak.
And, you know, when you take it out in front of your friends, just make yeah. sure you have a, you know, like a little, like a poop catcher on. But, no, it is absolutely. And she's over there kind of like whispering into your ear.
Yeah,
I love this.
Nibbling on your
okay,
neck.
Okay, now how do you get this bird?
Sitting on your collar.
So you could stop by our shelter today at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653.
Okay.
Just amazing.
It is
all right.
Anything else? Oh, next weekend.
Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
Don't forget.
Bark,
it's already,
wine, and brew.
I know. It's crazy. It's already here. So if you haven't gotten your tickets already, don't delay because they're almost sold out. And once they're gone,
hey,
they're
you know
gone.
What? There's only
last
350,
year was packed.
Yeah, only 350 tickets. I think there was only like 15 or 20 left last time I talked to Mark. So, I mean, you might want to give him a call at
241-1653.
Get your tickets. And we're going to have a great time that night, too.
Go in and get your tickets and then check out the bird.
Yeah, come in and get your, go get out and get your tickets and get birded.
Yeah, Dora would love to go home with
Dora.
You.
Dora.
Okay, now, is she, what age groups?
So we don't have her recommended for any age group. She is a young bird, you know, so you just have to be a little knowledgeable on birds.
I love this. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
It's always
Spencer.
So nice to see you,
it
Spencer.
It is. It really is. And I love that bird. I tell
all
you
right.
what. You know what?
Right.
She's
hey, I've
my
always
buddy.
Thought that if I had more time at home, that I, you don't know this, but I always thought, you know, animals, birds, plants. I mean, that's how you have a home. It's just
bird.
Weird.
A little bird flying around.
Thank you so much. Again,
it's really a cute
go
bird.
Check
it's
out.
It's got an orange beak, too.
Haven Humane, and see the wonderful animals that are up for adoption. Thank you so much, Spencer.
Thank you. Hey, okay, we got to take a break, but this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over there at Sleep Number. My sleep number setting, of course, is up to 45, going for 50, and Linda's sleep number setting is 40.
It varies.
It varies. It does. It,
and that's the beautiful thing about having your individual
air control.
Sides.
Still air control.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I decided I needed to have a softer bed, so I did go down to 40. Originally, I started at 55, so I changed it around. And the dual control.
Dual air control.
Right.
And what that does is it lets you choose your ideal firmness. And with the new Sleep IQ technology, you can go on and check, and they'll give you ideas on how the best way you can sleep in your bed. And also with the kids' Sleep IQ technology for your kids' beds, and you can make sure that they're getting the best night's sleep, because that's really important. Most people don't get a good night's sleep, but you will on a Sleep Number bed. And I've done studies on this. Consumer Report says it's the best bed in the nation. It's made in America. It's guaranteed. What else can you say? Except right now, come in and discover the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology, starting at only $1,099.98. Well, what's so special about that is, how much is a good night's sleep worth? We've slept better on this bed than we have any time in over the last 2 years in our bed. Anyway, head on down to the Target Shopping Center. Go on over to the Sleep Number store. See Brian, Janice, or any of the professionals down there. And you are going to have a great night's sleep. We guarantee it. Okay, hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Katie from Girls Incorporated is our guest. We'll be right back.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 26th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you could be the winner of a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina.
We've got to be ready for September 27th at 1:30 for the big dock.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 27th at 1:30 p.m.
Hi, it's Linda Bott
and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460.
I know.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked the top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row, and a top cardiac hospital, and the top 50 in the cardiac And why? Because Shasta Regional treats people well. I mean, really, it's a great hospital, and the people are great. Okay.
On the phone with us this morning, Katie from Girls Inc. It's a really important time to hear what is happening next week. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. We're great. Girls Inc. Tell us about what Girls Inc. is.
So Girls Inc. is a local nonprofit, and we serve girls in Shasta and Tehama counties. We offer our programs at local schools and community centers and serve a large group ages 6 through 18 years of age. But we really work to inspire girls to be strong, smart, and bold. So our variety of programs are research-based, and we look to teach girls about peer pressure and bullying, avoiding substance abuse. We really want to give them tools and more education to prepare them for the future.
So it's, you know, this is the mentor call, like somebody who maybe 13, 14, 15, just trying to find themselves. They hear about this program, they get involved with this program, and all of a sudden, you know, the self-esteem, I'm worthy. I understand that you help, you know, do things as simple as how to balance a checkbook.
We do. Our economic literacy program is incredibly popular, not only with the girls, but with their parents. So it teaches girls how to manage their finances, how to use a checkbook, debit cards, credit cards, how to invest, you know, what things cost, which I think is a real eye-opener for them sometimes. So that's been a very popular program in a lot of the local schools.
And so you have your annual big fundraiser coming up. So we wanted to encourage, for those who may not have heard and for our loyal listeners, people think about, you know, they hear about things. So we wanted to get out there again today what Girls Inc. is. And it is, there are so many wonderful programs, and you've just been based out, really have been on the scene here for maybe, 4 or 5 years?
You know, we were established in 2006 but had a larger presence down in Tehama County. So now we are really expanding through Tehama and Shasta and growing each year. We've served almost 300 girls this year in our local community, and we're just looking to increase that number. So, yes, we do have our big signature event coming up on October 3rd, and that's the third annual Girls Inc. Gala. It will take place at the Red Lion Hotel in Reading at 6 p.m., and it is a black and white affair. So if you'd like to get dressed up and come out for a wonderful evening, we will have a delicious dinner, a live band, and a wonderful variety of silent auction items. On top of that, we have two amazing raffle prizes, the first being 4 Disneyland Resort Park Hopper passes valued at $620. Those tickets are on sale for $10 right now. And our second raffle prize for our 49er fans out in the audience, we have 4 club-level tickets available for the December 20th game at Levi Stadium, where the 49ers will face the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow.
That's a good one. And that prize includes an overnight stay at the Hyatt House in Silicon Valley, which is a short distance from the stadium. Those tickets are available for $50.
Wow. Okay, so the event again, and how we get tickets.
Yes, so tickets are available right now. We do have some limited tables left. For a table of 8, you can purchase for $400 on our website, www.girlsincnsv.org, or you can give us a call at 530-527-7767. Individual tickets are also available for purchase at $60 a piece, but we would love to see you there.
And again, the date of the event.
The date of the event is October 3rd, 2015, so a week from Saturday.
All right. Well, thank you for calling with all the information. Again, it's Girls Inc., and Katie has been here to give us some great information. We're going to be running commercials and stuff because we really believe in your organization and how to empower girls. Thanks so much, Katie.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Katie. Hey, John Boehner just announced that he will resign from Speaker of the House in October.
Why do you think that is?
He says it doesn't want to become an issue in this coming year. Because there's a lot of people, you know, they're starting to mount attacks against Boehner. A lot of people, especially in the conservative side wing of the Republican Party, don't like the things he's done, such as somehow giving up the right to fight this Iranian deal that Obama has orchestrated. The nuclear deal, which people seem to forget, will lead to the Iranians having a nuclear weapon in several years. And they're saying the only way, oh, gosh, you know, if the only other way would be at war with them. We're already at war with Iran, if you don't know it. And go down to Arlington, go to a few cemeteries, and see the dead Marine soldiers, sailors, airmen that are out there that were killed by the Iranian government. If you don't think that's war, I'm not sure what war is then. So this agreement, which most of the people in the United States, most of the people in the United States don't like, and yet for some reason Obama and his administration continues to push forward. Last gun store in San Francisco is closing. Frankly, I didn't even know they still had a gun store in San Francisco. But this one was started by an Olympic shooter back in the 60s.
Really?
And he's been in the store. And the manager says, finally, he says, you know what, enough's enough. He said, all these new regulations that the city of San Francisco keeps putting on them. The latest is this. They have to video every transaction. Everybody comes in there and wants to buy a gun. And he says, most of our customers are hunters and law enforcement people that are coming in there. So he says we have to, not only do we have to videotape it, we then have to turn the tapes over to the police every week. He said the other types of regulations we had, we've got 17 cameras. We got 17 cameras all the store, outside the store. And he says, and if they want a tape to look at something that the cops ask them, we give it to them. But he said, this is just another group of regulations. And he said, finally, okay, that's it. I've had it. He said sales have really been up this month because he's closing. And he says, but that's what they want. They don't want a gun store in San Francisco, and they're just going to keep doing this. So you ask yourself, what kind of, nobody's taking guns away from people. Well, yes, they do. Every day they take it away. Every day in California you lose guns because they don't meet the specifications that the state keeps adding on and stupid regulations.
Pick away,
until you can't do it.
Anselmo left.
Well, that was just one of the reasons.
That was an indication of the pick away.
Well, part of that. Come on now, part of that reversion, you know.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, it's just pick. Too.
But it was. Yeah. But the same thing is, it's kind of interesting to see if there's other people who are having the same problems, even after Anselmo left. But here's the bottom line is that it's just a constant erosion of rights here. And at a certain point, you know, you vote with your feet. But as somebody once said, he says, what makes you think the Constitution, we had somebody on the other day, what makes you think the Constitution is the same? It's not the same. Look at, you know, the rulings from, you know, over the years, over the decades has changed what the Constitution originally meant. And this thing where, you know, you have to have, a ruling by the Supreme Court that says you have the right to own a weapon. That's ridiculous. It's given it to you. It's given to you in the Constitution under the Second Amendment. And yet there are governments that within some kind of weird kind of transfer of, you know, this power thing they have is saying, oh no, if we limit everybody having guns, there'll be no crime. Well, the people that are that have the strongest gun control areas have the most crime. Look at Philadelphia, Chicago, DC, all these places. So, I mean, it's just remarkable how we're letting these, our rights just be kind of stripped away one at a time. Like this gun shop. It's a little gun shop. It's not a huge gun shop. And yet, they just keep adding another regulation until they find the ones, that will make him leave. And they did. So they win. Congratulations, San Francisco. Of course, there's another, it's just another thing about San Francisco that you just gotta love and avoid. I refuse to spend money in San Francisco. You know what? If you go to San Francisco and you go to see a game or something like that, you're giving money to these crazies down there. And so, you know, you go down and you spend, I'll spend a weekend. So it's like $500-$600 for a hotel room and dinner and all this stuff. Why would you give your money to San Francisco? Why would you do that?
Well, that's don't you think that's somewhat extreme?
What, me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just as extreme as they are. I could be as extreme as San Francisco. And you know what? I'm happier about it. And I'm more open about it. At least I tell you what I'm doing. They're sneaky. Okay. All right.
Coming up in the next half hour, we have Kyle from
Mighty Fine Foods.
And,
we also have the creamery coming in here. It's a new place.
Right. It's very exciting. Let's talk on the positive notes, too, of what's going on. Before we take a break, you want to hear this story? We have like 30 seconds.
Is this not about Wanda, is it?
No.
Okay.
An escaped tarantula delayed an Atlanta-bound Delta Airlines flight at Baltimore-Washington International Airport on Wednesday evening. Delta Flight 1525 was delayed for about 3 hours after a baggage handler noticed a baboon tarantula had gotten out of its container into the cargo hold. Does that freak you out? Anyway, so they landed the plane. The pilots decided they contained the spider in the cockpit, and it got everybody off the plane. But, you know, I guess you have to transport some of these things, but why was the guy carrying a baboon tarantula? So anyway, I'll look into that more, but it was relayed to the cockpit crew. The pilots opted to keep the plane on the ground to be sure there were no more spiders free in the cargo area.
Remember that movie, that terrible movie, Snakes on the Plane?
Snakes on the Plane. It's just,
did you ever see that, Eric? Eric's with us.
Yeah.
Eric says, no, I don't see movies like that. My wife won't let me. So my wife and kids won't let me watch those movies.
Cold sweats, hot sweats, whatever.
Okay, we got to wrap
this
up.
Anyway, I thought that was really funny. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460. See you in the next half hour.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Sip wine. Sample microbrews. Enjoy specialty appetizers and a sit-down dinner. Sway to the Lou White Band. Raise your pedal for live auction items. Bid on silent auction items. Purchase a balloon for special surprises. View video of rescued animals. All this and more at the 8th Annual Bark Wine and Brew Gala, October 3rd at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Supporting Haven Humane Society as they protect the lost, abused, and abandoned animals of our area. Purchase your tickets online at havenhumane.org or call 241-5262.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
It's time for better banking. A bank that makes your small business a priority. A bank that understands how to help your business succeed with professionals available for you and growth strategies for your businesses. Bank of Commerce is that bank. For over 30 years, Bank of Commerce has been the bank of choice for businesses. At Reading Bank of Commerce, we partner with your business to work with you on a plan that supports your vision and goals. Reading Bank of Commerce, bank of choice. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's the 25th of September. It's 65 degrees out there, going up to like 96 today. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, though, so you can join us out at the View 202 out there in the veranda. But this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at the Civic Auditorium. For 45 years, they've been an important community resource. Join the Reading Civic and become a member there. You get all types of great deals, different levels of community connection and different levels of membership. Check it out at readingcivic.com or go to the Civic Box Office. You know, they've got a lot of great things happening there in the next next year. Super things happening, including Christmas shows. Okay, we're here with a new business in town, the Taste and See Creamery.
All right, so guys, welcome Jake, Cho, and Danny. Good morning, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
All right, so I'm looking at these black shirts. They've got this really cool green and kind of a pink Taste and See Creamery. So what is Taste and See Creamery?
Who wants to go first?
One of you needs to. No dead time.
Yeah, Taste and See Creamery, we are a gourmet, handmade ice cream shop that's in town in the Mount Shasta Mall. And what we do is we make everything from in-house in the kitchen, and we use real ingredients, fresh ingredients, no artificial flavoring, no artificial coloring. And so when you bite into that ice cream, you're tasting it. We have something like a real mint chip. We're actually using real mint leaves, so when you bite into it, it's like an explosion in your mouth.
But you know the first mistake you guys made, right?
What's that?
You didn't bring the mint chip to Lamar. That was the first mistake. I'm just telling you right now. I'm just being easy on you. Okay, now, Jake, how'd y'all get into this?
Oh, it's a long and funny story about just a series of events with a couple of guys who had no idea what they were doing. About a year and a half ago, we were just talking one morning, and Danny suggested, hey, what about an ice cream shop? And I said, well, you know, I have no experience whatsoever in ice cream, but for some reason it sounds like a really good idea. And we just began kind of pursuing it bit by bit, and we did a local event here last fall. We had tremendous response, and we felt like this could be a really plausible idea and a great demographic in Reading. And
you put it together.
We did put it together. It came together, and here we are.
Cho.
Yes.
You ever been in ice cream before?
Yes.
Oh, you were? So
yeah.
You've done this before.
Yeah, actually, I was running an ice cream delivery business in Los Angeles, and I got a call from my friend Danny about an opportunity to open a shop in Reading. So,
and you said, oh, yeah, right away, let me run up to Reading. I know, that's my kind of place.
Yeah, so last year we did the bazaar. We did a local event, and, you know, our reception from the community was tremendous. So we saw a good opportunity to open a business here because in Reading, there was no such shop that makes their own ice cream in-house. They either buy it from another city or they use, you know, other ice cream shops, you know, flavors. But here, we make all our flavors from scratch, and, you know, we just want to bring a certain type of new flavor to the city of Reading that they haven't tasted before.
We're really excited about this, you know, and I'm sure our listeners right now, especially when you say that it's all natural, we're looking for, you know, to improve our health, and if we're going to eat something, we want it to be that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say bazaar, you're talking about the Red Town event that they're going to be doing? What bazaar were you saying? You brought it to the bazaar here in Reading, and it went over so well.
Yeah. But it was a bazaar at the Bethel Church.
Yes, so they're having, at the Civic this year, they're having what they're called Red Town Square that's happening November 28th. We're going to talk more about that, where they have all different kinds of places to stop and shop and eat and all that. So we hope that you'll be there as well. But where are you in the Mount Shasta Mall?
We're located right next to Subway in the food court, so it's right next to the bathrooms. It used to be Mexico Lindo in the previous.
Okay, yeah. So we guess where we're going, Carl, this weekend. When did you open?
2 days ago.
2 days ago, okay. Yep. Now, was it hard getting this thing started here in Reading?
Oh, yeah. We ran into every problem you can possibly think of. Every appliance broke down at least once. Even our brand new ice cream machine
broke down at least once.
Yeah, at least once.
At least once, because if it was easy, everybody would. There'd be creameries everywhere, right?
That's true.
Okay, so is this idea something that you're looking at as being, you know, because you're using natural ingredients, right? And you're making it from scratch, so that you have these special flavors. I mean, so it could have different flavors each time, really. If you're, you know, in your mint or. Am I wrong or right?
Yep, you're right.
Okay. So is this something that you think about? Well, we could. There might be other places that really love this, too, in that sense of franchising it out or spreading it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's I'm sure that's a dream of our hearts. We definitely want to expand. We want to go to different cities. I think Reading's got like that small town that's becoming or wants to be a big city. So I definitely feel like if it does well in Reading, I think it would be a model that's easily replicable in any other place.
This reminds me of probably what Dutch Brothers was when they started out of Oregon. Just two guys who created this just very cool brand, kind of this, you know, every time you drive through a Dutch Brothers, it's customer service, it's great, you have a wonderful feeling, it's community outreach. And here's these three guys for our listeners right now, these hip young dudes that have definitely come and put their hearts and their money and their minds together in Reading to create a natural ice cream. It's called Taste and See Creamery. I like the Taste and See because I'm sure it's a visual. I can't wait to see your creamery, your little place that's right next to, you know, in the food court. I can't wait to see what you've done with that space because your T-shirts are really, you know, people talk about the power of the logo. There's a really cool logo on these black shirts, so I can't wait to see and taste what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
How did you get into okay, now y'all just kind of said because you've never done it before, but tell us a little bit about yourself, about Jake.
Well, I'm originally from Tennessee. I moved to Reading about 4 years ago.
What part?
From a little town called Shelbyville. I grew up on a beef cattle farm and, way out in the country. And So in my wildest dreams, opening an ice cream shop in Reading, California was never on the horizon
It wasn't on your list of things to do.
Never. Not on the bucket list at all.
And Danny, what about you? Where do you come from?
I'm from Los Angeles. I did grow up in New York until I was about 15 years old. And kind of my background is I've done a whole slew of odd jobs. From everything from sales to working in retail to wholesale district. But I think sales was kind of like the propensity of where I was always like going towards.
Mm-hmm.
I did door-to-door sales. I've done logistical sales, e-commerce sales. So
you've done it. Okay, so yeah. You're kind of the guy that's going to be out there pushing the sales part of it.
I think so. I think it just kind of fell on me.
Okay, and Joe sitting there. Joe sitting with his LA hat still on. We'll get you a Reading hat, Colt 45 hat. Baseball. Pretty soon you can wear that.
Yeah.
Go back home, get shot at. So okay. So tell us a little bit about you, Joe.
So I've been in the food industry most of my life. I started working at a coffee shop when I was in high school. I worked there for a while, and in 2008, I decided to go to pastry and baking school. So I graduated in 2009 from this school called Le Cordon Bleu in Pasadena.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
and that's not just a that's not like a little you know, a small college or it's not in the back of somebody's restaurant.
Yeah,
there.
It's like an actual accredited
school.
And after that, I just started working at various restaurants in LA. Doing desserts and plated desserts, making bread. And one of the last restaurants that I worked at, I was in charge of making all the ice cream for all the restaurant. And that's when my passion for ice cream kind of kicked in. I was I always see ice cream as kind of a blank canvas. So you could do almost anything with a blank canvas. You could, you know, steep any different kind of flavor into ice cream. And turn it
this
into an ice
great.
Cream flavor.
This is great. Can you make bacon ice cream?
We have one.
You have bacon. Right? We were just in a store that had bacon flavored everything. The lip gloss. It was over, but I had to ask because everybody seems to be getting into bacon lately.
Yeah.
So you got bacon flavored ice cream.
Well, not flavored. We actually have real bacon in our ice cream. Boston Dot Dodge.
Yeah.
Maple syrup, brown sugar, candied bacon. Really good.
Oh. Okay. We're talking to Jake and Danny and Cho from the Taste and See Creamery. It's in the Mount Shasta Mall. It's in the food court. And we encourage people to go on down there. In fact, we'll probably wander in there this weekend.
Yeah, probably tonight. Cho, favorite. If you had to pick one favorite, I'm going to go down for each guy. Your favorite flavor.
Favorite flavor definitely is the mint leaf stracciatella. I love the fresh mint leaf steeped in our cream, and we put melted chocolate straight into our ice cream so it creates irregular flakes instead of, you know, having crunch. Yeah.
Okay. Danny?
Mine is the roasted banana fudge. It's 40 pounds of banana, and the swirl of the fudge, it's to die for.
Okay, you guys, I could see people going, in their cars right now, on the way. What time do you open? And our tall Tennessean.
The Nutella Bonfire S'mores. It actually tastes like you're eating a s'more, and it's so good. It's like a fully composed dessert, but it's ice cream. So you get the whole thing. It's amazing.
Okay, we're here with the founders of the Taste and See Creamery, a soon-to-be famous national franchise. Remember where you got your launching yes. spot right here. And thank you so much. I mean, this is really cool. And, this is, you know what, you got to go down and try this out, just nothing else, just to see what this is like. And I love it when you said, Joe said, I see it as a blank canvas to build taste, to have taste in it. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. And everybody, we just encourage you to go on down there. I mean, I don't know if we would have stopped by after we had talked to you, but now we are. I mean, we really will. I mean, this sounds like a great place. Yeah. Any place that's got bacon ice cream can't be bad.
That's right. That's yeah. true.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this after these messages with our friend Kyle DeFore.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group. And the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show.
Some things in life you can just rely on. Like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Turtle Bay's 9th annual fall plant sale is Saturday, September 26th. Beauty doesn't have to be thirsty. Rethink your garden. Talk with plant experts and shop for drought-tolerant plants, California natives, hard-to-find perennials, grasses, shrubs, trees, and more. On September 26th, Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount and 20% for non-members. Plus, free gardening advice will be available throughout the day. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is like about 13 minutes until 8 o'clock here on Friday, the 25th of September. 67 degrees out there, going up to 96. 605-4567 is our phone number. And we're here with our buddy, Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Food.
Good morning.
To be with you. How you doing, guy?
Oh, I can't complain about you.
You know what? Well, you know what?
Today's all those local flavor.
Well, you know what
stuff.
It is.
It.
And then after you, we're going to have Larry Lees in from mm-hmm. Shasta County and Kurt Starman from the city. And we're going to talk about the vision of the city. I just saw something about a plan for redoing the whole inner city and all this. But you know what?
Wow.
Summer's almost over.
I know. We're still barbecuing. We got the barbecue going today. We're going to run that probably through October, weather permitting. But we're definitely going to do it for the next couple weeks. And like I was telling Linda earlier off air, we've got all new breakfast options, which has been a big hit for us.
And I think everybody needs to hear this because I didn't know that you served breakfast.
Well, if you're like me, you know, you get up and you're out the door and you're off doing stuff before you eat anything. And
right.
There's a lot of days where I don't eat anything before 11 or noon or anything like that.
And that is not good for you.
I know, that's not good.
It is the most important meal of the day, Kyle,
and
breakfast.
I got no excuse working at a grocery store either. So.
There you go. I mean, it's not like you can't just kind of reach on over there and get something out of the deli,
so anyway,
which
change
is
your
world
habits.
Famous.
So breakfast, you're talking about the stuff that you are building from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. It's all made by hand. We do Southwest burritos for $1.99. We've got biscuit sandwiches and English muffin sandwiches for $2.49. Bagel sandwiches, $3.49.
Wow.
We do biscuits and gravy every day. And then next week, we're actually starting all of our hot soups for the winter. So
going back to the breakfast, what time do you open?
We open at 6 a.m. every day.
And and you're serving breakfast at that time?
Mm-hmm.
So is there a place? Are people getting it to go, or can you sit down?
Either or. We've got a little area over by our deli and bakery on the far side there where you can sit down and eat it in the morning.
Cool.
You can grab it on your way to work.
People can actually grab, eat, you know, take 15, 20 minutes before you go.
Your sausage biscuits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Bacon, sausage, or ham. And then we've got a full coffee bar. We're actually adding pumpkin spice lattes next week.
And the reason we're doing that is
it's
Halloween.
It's that time of year.
It's that time of year.
So breakfast. See, this blows my mind. I like that. I would. And you guys are in Bella Vista, so let's tell it once again how where you may drive by it every day. They're serving breakfast, and also it's the barbecue. But let's talk about Charles. Guys, you're going to be doing soups, man. Get soup to go.
Yeah. Yeah, we do the usually comes with bread too, depending on the soup. You know, we do a clam chowder on Fridays, and then we do different ones during the week. But you know, I mean, I get tired of eating a bowl of cereal for breakfast on the days that I do actually eat breakfast. So you know, if you can grab something that's not fast food, that's not blah, or just an energy bar or whatever you eat all the time, kind of mixes it up a little bit, and it's always under $5. You know, we've always got the daily deli specials for lunch and dinner under $5, and the take and bake pizzas too. But breakfast is kind of one of those things where it kind of falls through the cracks for a lot of us, certainly me as well as anybody else. But so that's really been we've had a great, really great response to
this. This is Mighty Fine Foods, by the way. If people are, no, because there was questions in here, say, well, what's the name of the business? So it's Mighty Fine Foods, $2.99 in Deschutes.
Yep.
Right there. It's family owned, and I think it's important. It's family owned business that sold the business a while ago, but then came back and is back in the business again.
Yeah, we've been back out there since May of 2012.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's either the world's largest convenience store, or I tell you what, you walk in. 250, or no, how many now?
Well, we're getting close to 300. I've got all new beer going in next week, too.
Almost 300 different kinds of beer. Mm-hmm. Not 350 beer.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds.
It's different kinds of beers. Mm-hmm. And some of them may just be a six-pack.
Sure.
Some of them may be cases of it. Mm-hmm. But you go out and read. You know what? You're truly a man that goes that extra mile. You probably go out and taste every one of these beers.
I try to.
You try to. So he's tasted over 300 kinds of beers that he's put in his store to say these are reach our quality. And then people come in and love this, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've put my drink selection up against anybody because in addition to the beer selection, like you were saying, we've got over 1,000 drinks overall. So and I'm always adding new stuff all the time. I think I got half a dozen new things this week too. So
well, this is what's really cool again about having the young whippersnappers come, grow up here, leave, do their thing in their 20s that they have to just whatever they've got to go do, and then come back home, get into like building your roots again, back with your family, and you can tell the entrepreneurial spirit minded young blood that's come in back with his family and said, okay, we're going to make breakfast from scratch. We're going to have great deli sandwiches. Okay, this is the difference. Okay, what's happening with Mighty Fine Foods? You drive by it, there's a barbecue, they've got great beer, you've got your shelves if you need like the toilet paper or the bleach or the can of soup or whatever. But now you're expanding, and this is the message we're trying to get out to our listeners today. You guys have an area where you're making breakfast fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Biscuits, gravy, bacon, all that, all any kind of your bread, sandwiches, as well as soup from scratch. So that's a cool thing.
There's something else that's important, too, is that Mighty Fine Foods supports the community.
Yes, you do.
You support the community in a lot of veterans events, which I'm, you know, I applaud you for. I mean, high school football, Colt 45 baseball. I mean, you guys are out there supporting the community. This is not a big box store. And this is our neighbors. These are our neighbors. These are ones that do that are prospering in this economy because of customer service and because they believe in our community.
Well, you know, my both sets of my grandparents came to California in the 1930s during the Great Depression, looking for a better life from Minnesota and Oklahoma, respectively. And they found it here in Northern California. And, you know, my dad is the first person to in his family not to live in poverty. He basically went into business for himself in the early 1960s. You know, I've grown up here. I've lived here most of my life. You know, I think it's important. You know, where a lot of stores, especially a lot of smaller stores, are cutting their deli, cutting their, you know, bakery, cutting a lot of their overhead because they don't, you know, want to do more. And you know, this year we actually had the smallest reduction of hours from the busy summertime where we have all the tourists and, you know, everybody's going to the lake. We're right on the way out to the lake there. We had the smallest reduction of hours necessary between the summer and the fall into the winter time, which, you know, in years past, there's always a drop off, you know, because you don't have the tourist dollars coming in. But we've just been really blown away by the response to the community. You know, we had, like I said, we've been out there since May of 2012. My dad actually built the store in 77. And like you had alluded to before, we had sold it in 2001 and ended up getting it back about 11 years after that. But, you know, it's been uphill the last 3 years, but just the response we've gotten from the locals and people that are new to the area who may not have known us before when we were out there 15, 20 years ago, and certainly, you know, the old-timers who have been in Shasta County a long time might remember Shasta View, which was my dad as well, that's been 25 years ago. But you know, the like you alluded to, the community is important because, you know, we live here. We're from here. You know, when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money isn't going to go to a corporate headquarters hundreds or thousands of miles away. And it's going to stay in your community. And, you know, that's the way it should be, I think. So
absolutely.
I think so, too.
That's what motivated us. So we're right on that same page with you.
Community
so
radio.
We can give of our time and give of, you know, projects and, you know, it's just really important. That's what makes a community.
Well, you know, we live here, and we've lived here for, like I said, since my grandparents moved here in the 30s. I've still got lots of family around here. You know, we want to make this the best place possible to live, and that means making, you know, supporting Bella Vista Elementary, Foothill High School, like you were saying, you know, community organizations, you know, law enforcement, military, veterans organizations, things like that. I've got a veteran that works for us out there who was in Afghanistan, great guy. And I've got a phenomenal crew of, you know, 19 or 20 people right now that are, it's the best crew we've had in the years we've been out there, and it speaks to the type of caliber of person we have in our community here. So,
okay, we're here with Kyle DeFore, Mighty Fine Foods, and we're just talking about, you know, they came aboard with us, I don't know how long it's been now. But
March or April,
and we're really happy they have because, you know, again, it's a community business that is just outstanding in customer service, and if you ever go there, and you should go there, when you go there, I should say, you're going to be just blown away by how clean it is, and the great things they have, Mighty Fine Foods.
And the food. Let's talk about the food and the soups. I'm looking forward to that.
And the barbecue today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get your barbecue because it's usually gone.
Yeah, every Friday we barbecue, and every Friday you get a $5 take-and-bake pizza. So.
There you go. Okay.
Kyle, thank you, too, and you're going to be doing some sports coming up?
That's on the docket. We, like we alluded to before, I'd done some games with Nate mm-hmm. on the Colt 45s mm-hmm. this year. And in the event I do get to sit in on some football games, I'll try not to be too much of a homer for the Foothill Cougars.
So. Okay. Well, we're going to be watching you for next year for baseball.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Hey, look, well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back here in a few minutes or after the news. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Redding. Estate jewelry of its finest. And
another locally owned business.
A locally owned business that does a lot for our community and the only trained watch repairman in this whole area. You want a watch repaired and you take it someplace else, it's going to end up at Four Winds Jewelry eventually to be fixed. At 2225 Hilltop Drive, go down and see Leonard. Ask if you don't see what you want, ask him, because trust me, he's got it someplace. Professional integrity, honesty, just like Mighty Fine Foods. Four Winds Jewelry across the street from Sierra Gibbs. Open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. When we come back after the news, we're going to be talking to Larry Lees and Kurt Starman, CEO of Shasta County, and, of course, the Redding City Manager. We have people, it looks like, lining up in the
chat room.
Want to probably be asking some questions at 8 o'clock here, Friday, September the 25th.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Hour at townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. The third most powerful person in Washington is stepping down.
John Boehner, who's tried repeatedly to keep a fractured Republican caucus from splintering, is stepping down as Speaker and resigning from Congress at the end of October. The 12-term Republican from Ohio and one-time majority leader had been under fire from conservatives and narrowly fought off a challenge to re-election as Speaker 2 years ago. His surprise announcement comes a day after he hosted an historic address by Pope Francis to a joint meeting of Congress.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Speculation immediately turns to a possible successor. One of the names at the top of the list, Boehner's top deputy, Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. President Obama welcomes Chinese President Xi to the White House for a state visit.
For the second time in 3 days, the White House South Lawn hosted a lavish arrival ceremony. On Wednesday, it was for Pope Francis. This time, it was for China's president.
Welcome to the United States of America.
There's plenty of pageantry on display, but the U.S. has deep concerns about China's cyber spying and its territorial disputes in the Asian Pacific.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Pope Francis addresses the U.N. General Assembly a day after becoming the first pope to address a joint meeting of Congress. At the U.N., the pontiff says, in his words, there is a right of the environment and that humankind has no authority to abuse or destroy it. The pope also addressed the poor, saying they have the right to education, lodging, labor, and land. Thousands of Iranian worshippers have marched in Tehran after Friday prayers to denounce what they call the incompetence of Saudi Arabia in handling the annual Hajj pilgrimage. The protest came a day after at least 700 pilgrims died during a stampede on the outskirts of the city of Mecca. Iran says at least 131 Iranian pilgrims are among the dead. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And for the second year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The U.S. economy grew at an even faster clip in the spring than previous estimates.
The Commerce Department says the overall economy expanded at an annual rate of 3.9% in the second quarter. The newfound strength came from additional gains in consumer spending, business investment, and residential construction. However, there is concern among analysts that growth slowed in the summer, held back by global headwinds and turbulent financial markets.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting the second quarter gain in the gross domestic product was a marked improvement from the first quarter. Volkswagen's 20-member supervisory board is meeting today to discuss who to name as CEO after Martin Winterkorn quit this week over the emissions rigging scandal. The German automaker has admitted installing some 11 million diesel cars into using some software to dupe U.S. emissions testers. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. One of the world's wealthiest people, a Chinese real estate mogul who was at the center of a Democratic campaign fundraising scandal two decades ago, is jailed in New York City.
Federal authorities have charged Eng Lap Sing with lying about his plans for $4.5 million in cash he brought into the U.S. recently aboard private jets. He's been held since Saturday and failed to convince a judge that he would return to court if released. Sing's lawyer says his client's arrest resulted from a misunderstanding.
Correspondent Rich Thomason says Singh is being held without bond. The U.S. and Australian embassies are warning their traveling citizens away from a popular market area in Malaysia's capital. The warning comes amid intelligence suggesting a potential terrorist attack on a street filled with shops located in a major shopping belt in the center of Kuala Lumpur. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It's September the 25th, and we are here on Friday at 8:05 in the morning. Good morning, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And the weather right now is 67, going to be high today with 94. Our lows tonight are 62, and Friday calls for 94. Again, our Friday night with 63. As we get into Sunday, we are going to be high around 88, and Sunday night around 59. Looking forward to a cool next week with our temperatures in the 80s. The weather is always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. I know you're all anticipating this next our next hour of our show here.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by View 202, the only restaurant on the river. And every Sunday you can listen to Linda. Through this is, in fact, I shouldn't say every Sunday. This is the last Sunday because that Linda will be there for her jazz brunch there at View 202. It goes from, she sings from 11 to 1. Of course, the brunch goes from 11 to 2.
We've had a great three-month run.
It has been. And then you've got some other things that are going to be happening.
Right, we're going to start Sunday nights at View.
And this is the last Sunday out there. You can get your mimosa, and in the case of View 2,
manmosa.
Manmosas. Yeah, and they're sitting there going, oh, yeah, you know. And it's a great brunch, with Eggs Benedict and everything you can possibly imagine there at View 202. Give them a call at 226-8439. Because it's going to be sold out, so you want to get there. And you know what? They don't turn the tables. You can sit there and listen and drink and have a great food there. Okay. Hey, our guest today, Shasta County Executive Officer. I guess, is that right? Executive Officer Larry Lees. And, of course, Kurt Starman, the Reading City Manager. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I find it interesting that you two will never come on the show unless you're together. and then I see pictures of you two out there, at fundraisers and all that. And usually Les Baugh is in there someplace in the background. I think, what do they call that when somebody sneaks into the picture?
Yeah.
Photobombing. And then there's Les Baugh photobombing somewhere back there. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. But anyway, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. So happy to have you here with us this morning. There's so much to cover.
There is. Okay, let's make the announcement that you just told us.
Yeah, I was just talking with Carl and Linda and letting them know that we did get an official word from 3M that they are putting their project on hold as it relates to the rock quarry that they were looking at up north of the city of Shasta Lake. So it's not gone away, but it has been put on hold.
Okay, well, it hasn't gone away, but we talked about this. Usually when 3M comes into a place that
people welcome it because it's a lot of jobs and it's a lot of money coming through into the area. And in some cases, I mean, people will, you know, they dance around and they have parties. When they came in here, it wasn't the, that wasn't the point. I mean, that wasn't what happened.
Well, I could speak from the county part point of view, and that is, you know, we certainly did everything we did to facilitate a pure and proper project for 3M.
Okay.
I have nothing else to say.
Hit that written down on a 3x5 card in his hand here. That was pretty good. Okay, so the community. I mean, this is community radio. The community got into it.
Let's take 3M out of it for a second. Okay. Let's just talk about any project or anything that's coming to town. You know, certainly when you have a major corporation or major industry that's coming to town and wants to invest in your community, if it is a fit and it's something that you really want to see come here, obviously we, I think, need to go overboard to make sure they know they're welcome and that we appreciate their investment in our community. But certainly it needs to be something that's going to be a fit and viewed as an additive portion. You know, it gets back to the, do you want to grow or do you want to stay the same?
Wow. Okay, that's something for us to really look at. I mean, again, we talk about this every single day. And what is the fear? What is the fear of growing your town, growing the place that you're living in, having a place? I mean, we've had two local businesses on here this morning.
Yeah.
And we really encourage the fact that we, as being in Reading, is such a wonderful place to live. We want to see business develop here in homes that we, you know, that we thrive, that we have local markets, that we have, you know, wonderful places to show people that, you know, don't you want to live here too? Like Carl's gone on about his sister being in Chattanooga and is considered to be the number one place in the country. And we're like, well, what do they have that we don't have? The river. I mean, it goes on and on.
We've got
the similarity.
Same thing they have.
Right.
I don't know if you heard the show, but Chattanooga has been rated as the top number one small city to live in. They have a river. We have a river. They have people that are smart. We have people that are smart. We've got a workforce that's out there. I mean, they have this. We've been there several times. But the two things they have, there's three things they have that we don't have. One is a university. But even that, I don't think is the big reason. They do have a high speed internet there, very much of a high speed internet. And they also have, I think, a more friendly business community, not especially in Chattanooga. Well, maybe Chattanooga, but also the state. But it could be Reading, because they've been to Reading. They love Reading here.
Right.
They see this as just a great place.
Yeah, certainly we have some untapped potential.
Yeah. Well, this is like the second big business that I can think of, second or third big business. I mean, we had, the shopping center
that
was going and got shot down. And then now this one. At what point, and this is for you too, Kurt, at what point do businesses, when they're coming in here and they see things like this happening, do they start kind of like, well, maybe we better take a better look at this?
Yeah, I let me jump in, and then and Kurt can also. But I will say that's a great observation, I think, Carl, coming from you. I mean, it's a great observation because...
Because it came from me, or is it just a great observation? Oh, you've got a long time.
I know.
There's still 45 minutes left, Larry.
But I mean, the reality, when businesses and organizations come in, they're investing a lot of money to see if it's going to work, and they do a lot of pre-planning, and, you know, there was a lot of money spent in all these projects, whether it be a shopping center, whether it be a quarry, whatever it is, and they start looking at themselves and say, well, wait a minute, you know, if we have a chance of this not even going to go, do we want to make that initial investment? So I think your observation is right on the mark in that, you know, they're taking a look to say, you know, is this going to be a fight or... That's weighed into their business plan.
Well, I mean, you have to do that because, you know, talking with, and this comes out, of course, EDC and Mark LaSalle, getting a big business in here is a 5, 6, 7 year production, Kurt. I mean, you're involved in this. And when they see something like this, I mean, and they're in that early stages, does that make a difference, do you think?
You know, I think it does. And I'll start by saying I think Reading has a great reputation, or Shasta County in general, as, you know, having a pro-business and pro-growth type of attitude. And certainly when, you know, folks look at Shasta County and Reading, we all come together, the county, the city, the Economic Development Corporation, we all come together and put together our best, you know, put our best foot forward. So But it's challenging in California. California certainly has a reputation, a stigma, quite frankly, of not being pro-business. And so that's a challenge, number one. We try to counter that by, you know, really throwing out the or putting out the red carpet when we do get some, you know, economic development prospects. But to your question, you know, I think when you do have projects that or, you know, companies or individuals that, you know, spend time and effort and money to try to put together a project and it ultimately fails for whatever reason, in the two examples we talked about here, it's, you know, because of community input and community pressure. I think that does factor into the thought process, into the decision-making process. So that's just, you know, people are smart. They look at history and other projects and what they might anticipate when they, you know, bring their project forward. So I think it's a factor. I don't want to overstate it, though, because I think Redding and Shasta County do have a pro-business type stance, and I think we all work really well together to enhance that. So, you know, Redding, Shasta County, the EDC, and Anderson and Shasta Lake, you know, I'm always a big proponent that, you know, it doesn't really matter for industrial or manufacturing in particular. You know, it doesn't really matter if that business locates in, you know, Mountain Gate or Shasta Lake City or Anderson or Redding. The whole region's going to prosper and benefit from that. So, you know, we all work pretty collaboratively. We're not very... You know, we don't compete against one another with projects like that, because wherever it goes, it's going to be good for our whole community.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. Our guest, Redding City Manager Kurt Starman, and the Shasta County Executive Officer Larry Lees. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, a veteran-owned business that's been here for decades and provides veterans discounts at Espresso Joe's, where you can get great coffee by the pound, by any type of coffee maker there, too. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that is just excellent. Cigar Aficionado loves Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back after these messages.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almond Bean. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with Bottomless Mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing, cash management services, space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
Sip wine. Sample microbrews. Enjoy specialty appetizers and a sit-down dinner. Sway to the Lou White Band. Raise your paddle for live auction items. Bid on silent auction items. Purchase a balloon for special surprises. View video of rescued animals. All this and more at the 8th Annual Bark Wine and Brew Gala, October 3rd at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Supporting Haven Humane Society as they protect the lost, abused, and abandoned animals of our area. Purchase your tickets online at havenhumane.org or call 241-5262.
Fall is just around the corner, and if you're looking for that special gift or a wardrobe fix, Dandelion is your destination. Located at 1322 Pine Street, walk into the all-new and expanded Dandelion Boutique, and you'll discover the largest selection of Brighton in the North State. Every day, there are new arrivals with the latest styles and colors. Let one of the gals at Dandelion help you select what's right for your body type. Friendly, always fashionable, Dandelion. Open 10 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It's Friday, my friends. It's Friday. That means only two more working days until Monday. Unless, of course, you work for the city or county. 67 degrees out there, going up to 96 today. I meant in the management sense. Not everybody else is working, of course, police, sheriffs, and all that. 8:19 in the morning, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair.
Jeff Wurst, owner, veteran-owned business, of course, locally owned and operated, can fix your the crack in your windshield up to 24 inches. So you need to take it in. If you have a ding or a crack in your windshield, go take it into Jeff. He's honest. He will tell you, I can fix it. I can't fix it. One time I took in my chipped or cracked windshield, and it was right in the right where my eye looked. It came right to the vision, right to where the vision is when I'm driving. And I just didn't want to bond it. So he was honest about it. So I went and had my windshield replaced. But that's what you want. You want to have somebody who's going to work with you and tell you, give you the full scoop. So Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
3208 Market Street. Give them a call. 241-8373. Locally owned and, of course, a veteran. Our guest, Redding City Manager Kurt Starman and the Shasta County Chief Executive Officer Larry Leeds is a manager the executive officer, is that a better title? I'm just wondering. I mean, you two argue a lot.
If we have time for this, maybe later in the program, we can talk about sort of what our roles are and what we do.
I would like to do that.
There are some distinctions, yeah. Lots of similarities, yeah. Too. But, yeah, you have my title correct as city manager, and then for Larry, it's county executive officer.
Okay. Questions that are coming in here.
Sure.
Is there the Measure A lawsuit, and I assume this is about the marijuana. Have you heard about this, Larry?
I don't know that there's a pending lawsuit here in Shasta County on Measure A. There have been lots of folks calling in, and you know, certainly they were concerned about the passage of Measure A. Measure A is the one that we allowed the public to create some input on what they wanted to do as it related to outdoor grows and things like that of marijuana. Going back, Measure A is actually the state issue. Mm-hmm. Here in Shasta County, of course, we passed some land ordinance and land use based on what the public wanted. Measure A being the state issue, it is being challenged throughout the state. On the desk of the governor right now is three separate bills that talk about how to regulate the use of marijuana within the state of California. And we're looking for some consistency and guidance to come out of the state to regulate and tell us, you know, what we
can and can't do.
Right now, you know, it differs from county to county, city to city. Although it's not without its problems. As you can see, Colorado now is having significant problems with the steps they've taken.
We were just in Colorado, too, and they are having significant problems, but they're also having a significant growth in tax money. I mean, we've got to take a look at that one, too. And to the point that the real estate values are increasing, you know, I mean, extraordinarily, because they have to put money someplace, so they're buying property. And, I mean, there's the other side to it, too. I know that Governor Brown, who is on record as saying he doesn't want to see marijuana legalized here. And so it's going to be an interesting fight, because people up here have spoken and said that, no, we don't want to have open grows out here.
The governor of Colorado has said something not exactly like that, but has made it clear that other states considering following them better look, because it's fraught with problems.
It's interesting. In Shasta County, we have a little mini case study, I suppose, in the sense that we have three incorporated cities and then the county of Shasta, the unincorporated area. So we have really at least three different approaches, if not four, but with regard to Measure A for the county, and Larry just hit upon this a moment ago, but, you know, essentially what the county adopted and went to the ballot ultimately, and the voters approved it pretty overwhelmingly, was to no outdoor grow of medical marijuana. You can grow indoors, and, you know, to honor Proposition 215 and so forth, but with certain conditions and so forth. Anderson has something very similar to that as well. Redding does allow limited outdoor grow, so no more than six medical marijuana plants at any one time. So we have a little bit different version within the city of Redding. And then Shasta Lake has probably the most liberal interpretation or rules or regulations with regard to that. So they allow both indoor and outdoor grows, and they also allow marijuana dispensaries as well. So they have two. I didn't touch upon that, but for the county, Anderson and Redding, we do not no longer allow dispensaries. So we have really different examples within a relatively small county
here.
I think that right now our listeners just learned something, Kurt. about the fact that, from what you just said, I mean, I know I did, so I'm sure other people did as well, is about the, you know, the incorporated cities, and then, you know, there's so many, there's four or five different variations, of course, of how to interpret what A is. Is that what you just said?
So Measure A really applied to the unincorporated county only. And so each city, there's three incorporated cities in Shasta County. That's Anderson, Shasta Lake, and Redding. Each of them have, you know, home rule, and so they can adopt their own rules and regulations, and each have. And I just described those a few minutes ago. So, yeah, in our case, in Shasta County, with three incorporated cities in the county, we have really four different sets of local regulations. And then, as Larry mentioned, you know, it'd be very helpful, quite frankly. Usually I'm a big proponent of local control and, mm-hmm. you know, making rules that fit our situation. But this is a topic area where really some type of structure from the state would be very helpful in terms of medical marijuana dispensaries, and just some basic rules would be helpful in that regard. And then, I'm not sure it's been circulated yet for signature, but the conventional wisdom is that there's definitely going to be a ballot measure on the 2016 November election to legalize marijuana, for recreational purposes, similar to Colorado and the state of Washington.
I think that's out there someplace. But I find this, I find it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, because if they legalize it, I can just see what's going to happen up here in the green triangle, the Emerald Triangle.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, and again, as I mentioned, there's three bills sitting on the governor's desk right now for him to sign. I don't know if they're going to be amended a little bit or tweaked but with no pun intended. But that being set aside, keep in mind that the way the bills sit today. Local government entities, whether it be a city or a county, would still have control over land use.
That's sort of the best of all worlds, where we have some structure at the state level to provide some guidance, but still allows for local control relative to, you know, what makes sense for your community, because, you know, our values in Shasta County are different than San Francisco, for example.
You might say that. you think?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Well, let me switch over real quick, because it's kind of the same thing, because we're looking at state and city and the county we're going through. Body cams. For the police, I sit on the board of the California Highway Patrol, the Civilian Advisory Board, and we sat down with the Commissioner Farrell for like 45 minutes to an hour in our last meeting. I'm sure it'll come up again this meeting on body cams for the Highway Patrol and all the problems they saw with this, or how do you get past all these concerns? It seems like we're getting ready to jump into this in the city. And people seem to think that Paletti was dragging his feet, and I think Paletti's just trying to find out where, you know, the impact on all this is.
Yeah, and I agree with that assessment as well. So I'd say that a couple of things. One is obviously just that, you know, policing in general, nationwide, if not worldwide, but nationwide, is moving in that direction. So I think, you know, if you fast forward 5 or 10 years from now, that's going to be the norm. So we're all going to get there, but the path to get there is a little tricky and meanders a bit for the reasons you alluded to. No, Chief Paletti is supportive of the concept, and the city council is, and as am I. I think it, you know, makes some sense, and that's where the industry is going. But as you talked about, there's a lot of devil in the detail and a lot of unknowns. And I'll just give one example that relates where some state guidance on this would be helpful, quite frankly. And that is, there's a big debate amongst, the police chiefs and others within the state about, you know, the video that's captured, that's recorded, is that a public record and should it all be released, or is it evidence and none of it should be released, or is it somewhere in between? And quite frankly,
how do you redact people's faces and all this?
Like, innocent victims and things of that nature. And so the law, you know, our Public Records Act is what it's referred to. You know, the law wasn't crafted to even contemplate these types of issues. This is a new technology, a new issue. You know, the current law doesn't even contemplate that. And so some guidance or some structure would be helpful there before we just jump in with both feet.
Well, then would you say that, because Missy is really pushing this. And, I mean, because she started this last year, and she is saying, hey, look, it's been 18 months, guys, and she's pushing. Would you agree then with Chief Paletti to say, hey, look, before we jump into this, why don't we answer like four questions or even this? How about letting like the Highway Patrol work theirs out and then just take what they're doing instead of us trying to reinvent the wheel that's being invented all over the state?
Yeah, no, I think the city council as a whole is certainly in that position. That's why I heard from the council as a whole as well, is that let's make sure we want to move in this direction. We think it's a good tool, and quite frankly, it's good for our officers. So it eliminates a lot of this debate about who said what or who did what. And so I think there's a lot of value to it, but I think the city council as a whole sees the wisdom of, you know, let's not be on the front of this.
Let's not be on the cusp of this.
Let's
one
make,
here, yeah.
make sure we do it correctly. Now, I don't want to overstate. There are several agencies that have implemented this, so we would not be the first.
No,
but
we wouldn't.
Certainly on the front. On the
but everybody's got their own rules too, and this hasn't even gotten into the courts, Larry.
I was just going to add real quick. I think the hesitancy has nothing to do with what they might see on the picture. I'm not afraid.
I'm not worried
with the sheriff's. I'm not afraid with the police. It's the liability that associates that picture as it relates to the Public Records Act and evidence.
Yes, and that's, you know, when the policeman comes up to the car, when he looks in there, everything in that car now is on video. So you got to find and say the other person or the people in the car, you know, they're not doing anything. So there's so many of these questions.
Exactly.
No, and the other thing too is you get a policeman in a fight, only thing you're going to see is dark light, you know, or something like that. I mean, you're not going to be seeing. You know, what's happening there. I mean, there's so many things here. I just don't want to see us get into and spend a lot of money on something that we end up having to go back and redo and spend more money on, I guess. All right, let's take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Alliance Heating and Air. Martin and his people have been in business here for over 20 years. And better known business, outstanding service on any type of heating and air conditioning system. Not only that, but if you have an emergency, they're there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You know, it's starting to get cooler. You might want to have those filters checked, the air ducts checked, and your heating system checked. And this is the time of the year to do it. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
We'll be right back. KCNR 1460, 829 on the 25th of September. See you after the break.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 26th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you could be the winner of a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina.
We've got to be ready for September 27th at 1:30 for the big drop.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 27th at 1:30 p.m.
From simple line-drawn cartoons to 3D modeling used in today's movies, explore the entertaining worlds of animation at Get Animated, only at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Do you love Steamboat Willie or Toothless the Dragon? Learn the stories behind some of your favorite animated characters. Take a photo with Po the Panda, or try your hand at animation techniques used by Disney, DreamWorks, Sony, and more. Get Animated is presented by Redding Kia Subaru. Visit turtlebay.org for park hours and information. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Girls Inc., a program dedicated to providing a positive impact on the young girls in our community, invites you to our annual Girls Inc. Gala, Saturday, October 3rd, 6 p.m. at the Red Lion in Reading. Dance your heart out to a live band and enjoy a delicious dinner. In addition to a silent auction, we will raffle off 49er and Disneyland tickets. A $10 ticket gives you a chance at 4 Disneyland tickets. A $50 ticket gives you a chance at 4 exclusive San Francisco 49er United Club level seats, plus a hotel stay. You need not be present to win. Don't miss out on this fabulous night. For gala and raffle tickets, call 527-7767 or visit Girls Inc. NSB.
Momix is modern dance brought to a whole new level, and it's coming back to the Cascade Theater October 14th with a new show, Alchemia. Be transported to a fantasy world with spectacular dance, theater, illusion, riveting music, magical lighting, and fun with this wildly inventive modern dance troupe. Momix, October 14th at 7:30. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 8:32 in the morning.
This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. take a step back in time. You know what? I've been trying to get down there for 5 days. You know,
you're getting so popular.
I went down there Wednesday, and it was so busy. I came back twice, and I said, okay, I'm going to come back.
Well, now you need more hairs
I know. I need more. I said, when I walked out, they said, that's the longest we've ever seen your hair. It is. It's located on
They should cut your hair live on the air one day.
Cypress Square Shopping Center.
Have them do a buzz cut.
Man's last stronghold there. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Another
veteran-owned
business. Okay, we're here with Reading City Manager Kurt Starman and Shasta County Executive Officer Larry Lees. I like having both of you all here. And there's a variety of reasons. Because the county and the city needs to work together. And I know you two work together. But we have a question.
Well, we do have a question. And, of course, this is for Kurt. What is your responsibility? What does the city manager tell us about what your job entails?
Yeah, no, great question. In fact, you may want to ask Larry that, too, because there's a lot of similarities between my position and the county executive officer, but there's some differences as well. So I'll try to do that succinctly because that could be a long, it could be a whole program. But the city of Reading and most cities in California is about 480 incorporated cities, and all but the very largest have what's called a council manager form of government. And this came out in the early 1900s as a kind of response to the good government movement to get corruption and graft out of local government. And so it's modeled after sort of a corporate business model where you have a board of directors, and in that council manager form of government, we call that board of directors the city council, obviously elected by the folks of our community. And then the instead of a chief executive officer in the corporate model, we call that the city manager in the council manager form of government. So the city council is responsible for, you know, setting the vision for the community, setting public policy direction and what they want to accomplish for the community on behalf of their constituents, obviously. And it's the city manager's obligation and responsibility to implement that as best we can in an economic way, efficient way, and timely manner. So it's somewhat analogous to a corporate model of a board of directors and chief executive officer. The city council only hires and fires two positions. That's the city manager and the city attorney. And then within city government, the council manager form of government, other positions are appointed by or hired by the city manager or by a designee, a personnel director, as an example. But the idea is to get the politics out of the day-to-day type operation of a city, that people are hired based upon qualifications and merit, not because of a political favor or who they might know and so forth. So the whole idea of the council manager form of government is to operate more as a business, to get the politics out of the day-to-day operation of the city or whatever city we're talking about. And so, it works very well. And as I mentioned, the vast majority of cities in California have that type of a model. So the county executive officer and counties have a similar structure, but with some pretty key differences. One of the big ones that Larry can talk about better than I do, but, in my case, I just mentioned there's only two positions hired by the city council. The rest are hired based upon, through a recruitment process and based upon merit and qualifications. In the case of the county, there's a combination of a lot of the department directors are directly elected, like the sheriff would be a good example of that, and several others. And others are selected or appointed by the board or by Larry as the county executive officer. So Larry's probably going to just pass the baton.
No. I think you addressed it well. As the 480 or so cities in the state, the counties, there's 58 counties, and the majority of those are a general government type county, which is similar to the council where you have five electeds, and then the board has the responsibility of hiring, firing, some direct. Big difference, as he mentioned, is the electeds. Actually, we have the five or six electeds, the assessor's office, the auditor's office, the sheriff, the district attorney, and the clerk. We have those electeds that technically I have no authority, or the Board of Supervisors has no authority, or how they conduct
somewhat
their
like
business.
The county clerk who was in Kentucky. If our county clerk decided I don't want to issue marriage licenses, she could do that.
So technically we have little control of how they run their day-to-day departments. But with that being said, the other big difference between the county and the city, I think, is the diversity that we have. Any given moment I can get a call that says the local gas station isn't giving you a full gallon of gas because we're over weights and measures. The next call could be we've got a rescue going up on the river, looking for somebody that's fallen overboard. We have the general assistance, the CalFresh, which is the food stamps, as most people know. We have the elections. I have to pay the district attorney to beat the public defender in court. I have to pay the public defender to beat the district attorney in court. I'm thinking about not paying either one of them and saving a bunch of money. But
well, what you could do is find out who's winning, and then you might cut back the other guy and make him work harder.
Well, you know, I know it's interesting you say that, though, because, you know, there's laws that dictate to make sure that both are being adequately funded. Otherwise, it would look like mm-hmm. there was a bias towards one.
Yeah, but if right, you know what? But if you're a, you know, if you're an employee and that employee is only winning 20% of the time, you know, he's running 80. You know, I think I'd kind of might make him bonuses over the 80%.
Well, okay, but that being said, the diversity is significant.
Well, I'm going to ask you this. Okay, Kurt, big brouhaha over the raises that was just given to management or mid management, I should say, in the city. They said they hadn't had raises since when?
Yeah, so the city council just recently in the last 30 days or so. So we have, as the county has the same situation, we have a heavily unionized work environment, so 9 different bargaining units. And we also have a group called unrepresented, so they don't belong to a union, although under California law they could. They could form a union tomorrow, quite frankly. Everybody but, by law, everybody but the city manager and city attorney could be in a union if they chose to do so. So we negotiate at the bargaining table with all of our unions, our bargaining units, all 9, and then the group that you're referring to is our unrepresented employees. So these folks don't have someone to advocate on their behalf, although they could choose to form a union if they wanted to do so. And this is a group that really, quite frankly, has stepped up first to the plate on just about every occasion during the Great Recession. They were the first to pay their portion toward CalPERS. They were the first to volunteer for the furlough program that's been in place for quite some time, and we recently sunset. So this is a group that has always showed leadership and have received very little since 2008. Like most of us in the public and private sector, it's been it's been a weak economy, a terrible economy during the 8, 9, 10, and 11. So this group, the city council just recently approved a 2% general wage increase for that group. So to put that in perspective, for a lot of times in my business, we focus on what's called the general fund because that's the money source that pays for things like police and fire, et cetera. So the impact of that increase to the general fund was about $56,000 or $57,000. And just to provide some context, that's about 0.1% of our general fund budget. So in terms of budgetary impact.
And I understand it.
So it's symbolic. I understand the symbolism of it, but quite frankly, the symbolism also is that, these are folks that if you want to have a healthy organization that serves the community well and really functions at a high level, you need good employees, but you need good managers and supervisors also, and you need to treat them fairly.
Oh, sure. How many people have quit in the last 4 years of the mid-management? Has anybody quit or taken another job?
Yeah, our issues fall into 2 categories. One is, one is retention, which you're talking about. The mm-hmm. other is recruitment. So, yeah, I can think of a couple, particularly like in our electric utility where we have lost people to other jurisdictions. Our biggest challenge of late, I know I've talked to Larry, he's had some similar issues on his, is in the recruitment as positions become vacant. It's becoming very difficult for us to recruit for certain areas in particular. And the most recent example was with the retirement of our development services director. We went out and had a failed recruitment and had to go back and revisit, those whole issues. So that's becoming much more problematic as the economy's improving. We've seen some improvement in Shasta County. We're certainly not to pre-recession levels, but other parts of California, like the Bay Area and some parts of Southern California, are doing quite a bit better. And so the competition for all kinds of employees are, police officers to, supervisors and managers is becoming more intense. And so it's becoming more of a challenge.
The money problems over Larry that we're talking is the sheriff came out and said, hey, look, we've got the money to build this new jail and add the, I think it was another 68 beds in there, or 86 beds. And it was turned down by the board of supervisors. And also, and you said we didn't have enough money for this.
Well.
And the sheriff, because it was kind of confusing because we had the sheriff on, mm-hmm. and he says, we have the money. We have it. Here's how we pay for it.
Right.
And then at the same time, Mr. Modi was saying, well, those figures aren't right, essentially.
I can't speak to what the sheriff said or did
right.
as far as this presentation. I will tell you what my recommendation was, what it was based on. And first of all, let me begin this by saying I have never heard a board of supervisors say that they did not want to have a larger jail, that they did not want to have more beds. So I have never heard anybody say that. I have heard them say, how are we going to pay for it? The question has never been, how are we going to pay for the initial capital investment to build it? That has never been the question. So if someone was to come to you and say, yeah, we have the money to build it, that would be a true statement. What has not been identified is the money to operate it. And keep in mind when we...
You mean build it if it expands? Or even just the one we have right now? Or that they're going to build 86 seats? or bits?
We're currently we've currently approved. The sheriff came to us about 2 years ago and said he would like us to build a facility with 64 beds and apply for a grant. And the board said, yes, that sounds good. Let's do that. We want to do that. And we did that. Recently, they came back and said, well, gosh, you know, we'd like to make it bigger. That was something where we did not have the identified revenue to operate the increased growth. We actually haven't identified all the revenue to operate even the 64 beds yet, but we're working towards that. And I felt comfortable in recommending that. Again, keep in mind, the Board of Supervisors have never said they didn't want more beds. But
I know that. And it was just the expansion of that was the problem.
So the fact, the investment in the capital structure, we have the money to do that. We do not have the money to operate it. And keep in mind, this is a state project. So what happens? The state owns this facility for 30 years. So if you don't adhere to their exact guidelines and parameters, they have an opportunity to come back and actually take it from you or make it into something different.
And I understand about the funding thing, but 75% of the residents of the jail come from the city of Reading. Kurt, isn't there a way that, and I know that like $15 million comes from the state, and that's right off the top that does this. But isn't there a way that the city could also kind of like lean into this so that they could make room for that other 68 people?
Yeah, so let me do a quick little kind of overview of sort of city and county finances. The short version is, yeah, that's possible, and we partner in a lot of areas.
That's what I thought.
You alluded to something like this earlier about the importance of the cities collectively here in Shasta County and the county collaborate, and we do that a lot. You know, the county and the city, we jointly operate a landfill, for example, out by IGO. We have a joint dispatch center for public safety.
And I understand it. We work together.
We have a lot of examples. Now, in the case of, you know, local funding, how, you know, services are paid for, so that goes way back in time and is certainly imperfect at best, that might be an optimistic way to describe it. But I'll just give by way of example in the city of Reading, you know, so for every dollar you and I, if we own a home or a business property or vacant property, you pay property taxes. And so, you know, a good portion of that goes, whether it's in the city of Reading or not, but the property in the city of Reading, when you pay your tax bill, the bulk of that goes to the state and to schools. But in the city of Reading it depends where you're at in the city. We get about 13 cents on a dollar, but the county gets about that much as well, quite frankly. So the county gets a portion of property tax within the city. And similar for sales tax, you know, the sales tax in California right now is 7.5%. The city gets 1%, and that's our major funding source for general services like police and fire protection. But the county also gets a half a cent of that for public safety in particular. It's dedicated for public safety and to pay for things like jails. So it's a complex funding system, and there's mechanism. Even within Reading, revenue generated here, tax revenue does go to the county, and you know that has been divvied up over time in terms of how best to pay for services. Now, if the city council and others came together and said we want to revisit that, a good example of that would be the library, another good partnership, by the way, where, you know, the city has come. We don't have an obligation to run a library, nor does the county. But that's historically here been a county obligation. But, you know, the city did step forward in that regard about 10 years ago and said we're going to help, you know, build this new facility. And, you know, we contribute in excess of $600,000 per year, discretionary money that we don't have to. So something like that could happen in the form of a jail.
Wait a second, though. I'm going to have to jump in and say, but the county contributes $1.2 million of discretionary dollars into that library every year. So if you think about the city doing $600,000, the county already is doing $1.2 million into that same library.
That's what I'm talking about, is they're already doing it. And it just seems like if we need that extra, you know, if we need a couple extra beds, or we need 64 extra beds, which we'll fill up in about 3 days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just seems like that we've got to take a quick break. I tell you what, let us take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Opened up during the Great Recession here 6 years ago, about the same time we did, and has prospered and thrived due to community service, but they do, but also for customer service. Whether it's a pistol or a long gun, they've got it. And all types of shooting accessories, all types of ammo. It's hunting season. Go down there and see what they have. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Give them a call, 222-8222. We'll be right back with Kurt Starman and Larry Lees and, of course, the beautiful Linda Butt.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got Red Diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
It's 10 minutes till 9. It's
8:50.
69 degrees going up to 96. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's going to be an 80.
It's going to be a great time. Come join us Sunday. It's the last day of Sunday brunch at The View. I'm going to be singing with Bruce Kalin on stand-up bass and Bernie Baker on guitar. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And just come out and enjoy just being real free and easy. Doesn't matter how, you know. You don't have to dress up. You can just come and chill on the veranda.
Take your ties off, guys. Yeah. Hey, the weather is always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, veteran-owned business here in town. 365-3793, discounts for seniors and veterans. Okay, and one last thing is Classic Cafe with Kathy and Millie having their German dinner tonight.
Oh, yes.
Go on down and get your Wiener Schnitzel, the Bratwurst, all that stuff down there on Athens Avenue. There's your chance to do it. Okay. Larry Lees, yeah, I know he's already rubbing his belly. Larry Lees, County Executive Officer, and a Kurt Starman, the City Manager. Now, Larry wanted to pile on this other one.
Well, just I wanted to take us, because I know you wanted to chat about the Restoration Center.
Yes.
And so when you think about the ARC, you know, we're talking about adding jail beds, but, you know, that's not what this is. The ARC is Adult Rehabilitation Center. It is rehabilitation. And when you think about that, you don't need beds to rehabilitate. You need to have, you might have to have ankle bracelets, you might have to have home monitoring, some things like
Right.
But really, do you want to invest in the rehabilitation or do you want to invest in the bed? And I know there's another argument there, but we saw a presentation on Tuesday from a world-renowned program where they have had some significant success of turning people around, and they have done that. And he said, you know, more beds is not the answer.
Okay, now you both went to that presentation. We had him on our show for 45 minutes that morning before you went there. I was stirred by this. I was stirred by the fact that this restoration center and what it could possibly mean to our city. What's the chance of actually getting something like this off the ground, Kurt?
And Larry, I'm going to jump on you in a second.
I think it has a lot of merit. I'll use your terminology. I was stirred as well. I thought there were some good ideas there. I think, and as he mentioned, the speaker, that, you know, every community is different. So I don't think we can just sort of replicate it in its totality. But I think there's a lot of good words of wisdom and ideas there as well. You know, a lot of things. I think there's great room for collaboration between the cities and the county. A lot of what he spoke about, you know, traditionally have been county services like alcohol rehabilitation and mental health and things like that. But, you know, clearly it's a community issue that's going to take all of us to come together. And I see a lot of room for potential collaboration between Reading and the other two cities and
Anderson,
the county.
Anderson, yeah, so okay, what do you think, Larry?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think we have the resources here to actually start a pilot project. Just so you know, I've been working with Senator Gaines, and he is looking at doing something that might help on a state level. For a pilot project here in Shasta County, so that's a little cat out of the bag. But as I want you to pay attention, though. You know, Kurt said cities. You know, we're all in this together. It's not just the city.
Well, then let's lead to my next question: is who do you see taking the lead in this?
No, I think
somebody needs to step up.
Yeah, I think I think it was a team effort. So I think, but in terms of leadership, I think it really does come from probably the chief executives and also the elected officials as well.
Okay.
But I think, you know, Larry and I and our other two city managers, but Larry and I in particular, I think, are in a good position to
I'm
lead that.
I'm glad you said that, because this is what I really like to see, is something that's good for our city and our county and our population here, to have you two step up, because you've got everybody at your fingertips here. What's it going to take? Because I know there's people in the city that will just jump into this. And I think there will be people wanting to raise funds for it. And, yes, you're right. We can't replicate San Antonio. Maybe we don't want to. But just think, 85% reduction in homelessness. A place where they have a 60 to 70% of the people that get through this Reformation Center actually come back into being taxpaying, healthy citizens of our community.
No, I thought that was really interesting with the guest that you were talking about that spoke at the Women's Fund. He was saying that, you know, that when people are mentally ill and they're thrown into jail, sometimes things that stuck at my mind, they can be actually arrested three times in a day, and that the brain takes a while to detox. And then if you throw people back out on the street, they're going to get back into the cycle of the same habit, you know. And we know friends that are very much involved with AA and Al-Anon and the addiction process. And I have firsthand in my family as well of what it is to be in treatment, always thinking about being in treatment. And that's what these programs will be great for.
Not her immediate family here.
And I think what's different this time, because we've known this is not new.
Yes,
news.
This is not
so,
new.
So we've known this. But what's different this time is we've got a great momentum here, and I think it's up to people like Kurt and I to keep that momentum going.
You know what you just said? You two just volunteered to take the lead in this on the air.
Well, and you can consider that done. But let me tell you the other part of this. Of course, we only have the power that our electeds give us. But the other part of that is that, you know, October 6th at our board meeting, we are bringing Laura's Law. We'll be one of 10 counties in the state to adopt Laura's Law, which allows us to help those that are suffering from mental health without after they meet some certain criteria. We're able to give them help. It's based on a law that happened down in Nevada County. But, I mean, that's a significant venture that the board is going to take on to help eliminate and help.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. Let me ask, Kurt, biggest problem facing the city next 3 years?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm not sure I can give you one, but I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
So, of course, you know, one is obviously on many of our minds, and certainly for the city council. Public safety is a huge focus area for us right now, and we're making some progress there. We've done some good things. The council's allocated more resources toward that. We've hired new officers. We've implemented new programs, but we need, you know, a lot more to be done.
This blueprint for safety that came out was released in the Record Searchlight, and then kind of got damaged and went back in.
So it's still a work in process. So it was, you know, in my mind, a little bit regrettable that it got released prematurely. It was, you know, it's incomplete and so forth. But, you know, that's what it is.
Okay.
But I think, I think that's an important topic for the community. The other thing I think is important is that we are starting to come out of a recession. We're starting to see, you know, some growth in the community again. And so, you know, Reading is a beautiful spot. It is going to grow. We're going to get bigger. And I think, you know, as we look forward 3 and 5 years and beyond, you know, how we grow is important. And so that hasn't been on our mind so much of late. But I think, you know, that just sort of how we grow and how we keep that, even though we're a mid-sized city, how do we keep that small-town feel? I think is a huge challenge for us as well, just so we grow well and that, you know, we're all proud of the place
we're living. Grow smart.
Yeah.
Larry.
I think our biggest problem is keeping focus on the prevention and not the, you know, I always make the comment, we do well at buying new ambulances to send to the bottom of the cliff rather than putting a fence up at the top of the cliff. And if we can keep focus on that, as I mentioned to Linda on break, you know, if we are to turn around 10 people, it doesn't seem like very many, but that's $500,000 a year that we're saving. $500,000 a year in saving. And so if we're able to do that, not to mention their lives that we've changed, their families' lives. So it's focus on prevention and make a difference in changing people and not just putting them away.
Okay.
And having them want to make a change.
Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah. But that's part of that reach there. Okay. So what we've heard here today is 3M is putting it on hold. The quarry, for a variety of reasons. We've heard that that you two have taken a volunteer to take the lead in looking into this Reformation Center and doing this. And so coming up with, I guess, then you can task your people. Let's come up with a plan on how to do this and make this a community and government effort. I mean, we're in it as much as you want because we believe that this will work. Okay, now you've both been in executive positions for years. So, okay, so how would you rate this, since you raised your hand? How would you rate this Board of Supervisors as compared to others that you've worked with?
You know, we
don't worry, just take 1 minute because he's going to get the next one.
They're so much better than the elected city council. I mean, I'm kidding, of course, but just kidding. No, we're lucky that we have 5 elected officials that really care about the community they live in.
What about you, Kurt?
Yeah, the current city council they're really operating at a high level, very collaborative and cohesive, and, you know, they're functioning at a real good level. So great city council, you know, they really have the community's interests at heart, and they're good people, they're smart, and I'm real proud of what they do.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. You know what, I really like having you both here because just like this thing with the Reformation Center today, this was big. What you all just said was big, and I hope people hold you to it. Because I'm going to send the copies of what you all said to the city council and the board of supervisors. No, I think it's great because that's what I think that you two
leadership.
Can be, you two can do that. Where
you
other
can.
People, I don't think that the elected officials can.
Yeah, we need to let you know that we have already been working on this prior to this show.
Great.
That's great.
Right. I like to see the sparkle in your eyes, both of you.
That's right. Hey, on Monday, we've got Trollax, the movie makers right here in town are going to be on the show with us.
That'll be fun.
Along with Lee Pike, who has been just ramping up on the Obama administration destroying the military.
Ooh.
It's going to be all this on Monday morning. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
His resignation. Not only is he quitting the speaker's job, he'll also leave his House seat at the end of next month.
It's seismic for the House.
The reaction of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says that from Boehner's standpoint, after hosting Pope Francis at the Capitol yesterday, this may be exactly the right moment to make his exit.
He had always wanted to have a Pope address the Congress. He's a very devout Catholic. And yesterday to him was one of the emotional high points of his life.
From the Salem Radio Network's Mike Gallagher Show, some conservative lawmakers welcome Boehner's departure, while some other Republicans say that while the anti-Boehner forces may have scored a small victory, it will surely come back to haunt them. President Obama hosting his Chinese counterpart for talks at the White House.
At a formal White House arrival